Blog Talk Radio.
Church in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This ministry is a legacy of God's love. Amen. Yes, it is. And we want to thank our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, for this ministry. Amen. I'm blessed and happy to be the pastor, and I pray that you're blessed and happy to be a partaker of it with us. Amen. Amen. God does miraculous things here, and he changes people. Amen. And we are the proof that he does that. Amen. Because we are not who we used to be. We're a miracle. Amen. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church, and we meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America and all over the world. Amen. And we thank you for joining us. We pray that you will hear from the Lord as you partake of the word with us tonight and fellowship with him. We pray that the Lord will move in your heart and that whatever your needs are, they will be met in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, saints, guess what? Half the year is almost over. Can you believe it? I can remember last year quite clearly. And I'm just surprised that it's already the middle of May. But nonetheless, the power of God, the army of God is moving forward. Amen? Amen. Well, I had a little time, some of your letters that you've been writing to me. And if I haven't responded yet, hold on, I'm coming. I'm trying to get caught up on things that I got uncaught up on. So just be patient. Pastor is working on it. Amen. I have not forgotten you. If I promise to do something for you, especially send you something in the mail, it's coming. Pastor is working on it. She's trying to get all of her P's and Q's in place, so to speak. Amen. So thank you for being patient and forbearing with me. I love you. Brother Bill loves you. Brother Marshall loves you. And we're all working together as a team. Amen? Amen. Now, there are some things we need to talk about, but I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'll get back to that when the Holy Spirit reminds me what he wants me to say. Amen. But I do want you to keep in mind that the Lord is ever mindful of you. You know, we are not a religious ministry. We're free-flowing in the Spirit of God. And the Lord is listening to all of those things that you say at home, in your prayer closet, in your car. He knows all about them. And sometimes he will allow me to directly address them. So don't be surprised when he does. He's not off in heaven somewhere chewing on a celery stick. Sorry, that's not Jesus. He is active and alive and amongst his people. So don't be surprised when you've thought about something or you've asked him about something and suddenly you hear me talking about it. Amen? He's answering you. He's responding to you. He's not like Buddha. He's not a dead statue, a big, fat statue. I was flicking, trying to find the weather on the television, and I guess I stumbled across a travel or a commercial for a travel channel, and I saw that big, ugly statue up those steps, and I went, yuck. But anyway, that's not our God. In fact, that's really nobody's God. But they think it is, but that's not our God. Our God is very responsive, and he responds to what happens in our everyday lives. So when he unctions me to say certain things and it hits you right in that place, he's talking to you. Amen? He's talking to you. So respond to him like you know that he's talking to you. Amen. Amen. because he's talking to all of us. And sometimes to particular ones of us, certainly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I believe, oh, I know what I was going to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are announcements that I post every Wednesday and every Friday. Every Wednesday and every Friday. I post them just before we come live on the air. And I would hope that you would review them because from time to time, certain things change. What brought that to my attention was that someone asked for me to confirm the mailing address that they found on the website. Well, you see, I do that. I do it every Wednesday and every Friday when I post the announcement. And when you come up on the broadcast, if you would scroll up to the announcements, they all say Pastor Sabrina and thus and so, thus and so. I confirm the address. Amen? Brother Bill was nice enough to repost it, but that's what happens in the announcements. If something changes, you'll probably notice it first in the announcements. And so I want to remind you to do that. When you come up live on the air, even when you don't, just scroll up in the MIC radio chat, scroll up to the announcements, and reread them right quickly. You will know if you read them regularly if something has changed. Amen? Amen. That's up there where I post the featured psalm, the verse for meditation. And speaking of the verse for meditation, you know, some people don't meditate on that verse during the week. I discovered that. I didn't know that that wasn't happening. There's a reason the Lord gave me that years ago, that verse for meditation. It's because that's the scripture he wants us to spend time contemplating. He wants us to spend time thinking about that particular scripture and running it over and over in our minds and in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Yes. The featured ebook is a book he wants us to read. There's a reason they're so inexpensive. He wants us to read them. Amen? The featured psalm is because God wants to put us in that psalm. There's something he wants to say to us, and we need to find out what it is. So every broadcast, you don't get the same featured psalm all week long. It changes from broadcast to broadcast. The verse for meditation changes from broadcast to broadcast. The featured ebook that can be found on our webpage, and right across the banner, it says books and ebooks. And we post the link for you right in the MIC radio chat. He wants us to pay attention. Amen? It's very important. Very, very, very important. Amen? So don't just fly by that part as if it's insignificant, it doesn't change, et cetera, et cetera. God is wanting to give our attention to that. He wants us to give it attention. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Sometimes your answer is found in the announcement. And that's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. So to all of our first-time listeners, we invite you, area that we've been talking about, our MIC radio chat room. It's located on our webpage, and our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. Miracleinternetchurch.com. Amen. And when the page comes up, across the banner, you'll see MIC Radio Chat. That's where the announcements are, MIC Radio Chat. And we encourage you, if you read the instructions that are in the announcements, to go down the left side of the page under the word viewers. and click that circular icon that looks like it has a stick in it. You'll be able to sign in. We just ask that you don't give us your birth date, your driver's license number, your telephone number, you know, all of that kind of personal information as a username. If you don't want to use your own name, make one up. It's nothing, no problem. We don't mind. And so sign in and scroll up and read all of our announcements and see where everybody says hi to one another. We love you, happy to see you, all of that. And you can join in and say, hi, I love you, glad to join you. This is going to be great. You know, that's all. So we hope that you will. Amen. Amen. That's what we would like. Amen. That's what the Lord wants us to do. We express the love of God here. Amen. And if you're shy about that, why, take that shyness and throw it in the garbage can and jump right on and say hi to everybody. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, during the week, from time to time, Pastor posts FYIs for your information. And it'll be some little tidbit of information. Usually, when we're going to engage in a fast coming up, that's where you'll find it first. Before we ever get to announcing it during the broadcast, you'll find it in the MIC radio chat. That's where Pastor puts announcements. That's where she puts little tidbits. That's where she puts that kind of information for everyone to share. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in our Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, we post in 5 lines our prayer requests with scriptures. You see, when we, you want us to agree with you, but we agree on the word. So you have to give us at least 1 or 2 scriptures, amen, so we know where you're really coming from. And we get the gist of it all. Amen? So that's what we ask for. It's not hard. It's very simple. All you have to do is dive in with faith. Amen? And by the way, we're going to talk about faith tonight. Amen. Amen. And for those of you who want to know how to bless the ministry, we have a whole link called Giving at Miracle Internet Church. It tells you all the ways you can do that. All the ways you can give. And that information is accurate and up to date. Praise the Lord. Amen. And some of you who have not yet done this can click the link that says Become a Member of Miracle Internet Church. It's right across the banner. And for those of you that have a cell phone, you say, well, I don't have a computer, I don't have a tablet, all I have is a cell phone. That's the computer. All you have to do is go to your internet service provider, whoever it is on your phone, and type in miracleinternetchurch.com, and it will come right up. And across the banner is 3 white lines on a black background. That's your link. Just click that. And all the other links open up to you, all the ones you just heard me talk about, and even more. That's right. And those of you who are in the know that we have an app. So all you have to do is go to your app store and download Miracle Internet Church to your cell phone. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that. Amen. So there you have it. And if you're on that computer, we ask that you open another window to miracleinternetchurch.com and click blog, talk, archive, sermons. And when it comes open, you scroll down to upcoming broadcasts. And that'll be the one we're on right now. And you just click it, and you can listen through your computer. There. Very simple. Not hard. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go before the Lord our God in prayer. And I've been thinking and talking to the Lord about our faith. Amen? And the fact that when we pray during the opening of the broadcast, We need everyone to be in faith. That's right, in faith. So wherever you left your faith today or yesterday or whenever, we need you to get a hold of it now because we're going to go before the throne of God in prayer. Amen? We're going to go into the presence of the Lord. He's going to receive us. And we all know that we cannot please God without faith. So let's bring our faith before the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for faith. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the armor of God. We want to thank you for the warring, linking angels that surround us. We want to thank you for the praising angels that cover us. We want to thank you for your very presence in our midst. We honor you because you are our God. You are the Lord of our lives. You are the bishop of our souls. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our strength. You are our all. You're the creator of the universes. You're the creator of every world. You were there whenever beginning was, and you'll be wherever end is. You've already seen our day. You know them from the beginning to the end. You know everything that we'll ever encounter in this life and beyond. And you have chosen to place your love upon us. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your compassion. We want to thank you for your mercy. And we desire to honor you for who you are. It's a wonderful thing indeed, Father, to be able to come into your presence and to worship you. And you desire for us to worship you in the Spirit of God, and in truth, not in hypocrisy, not in backsliding, not in dishonesty, but in truth. So, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts. Search our hearts. Judge our hearts. And any place where we're in hypocrisy, we're fronting one thing, but the truth is quite a different story. Any place that we're not being honest with you or with ourselves, any place where we're veering from you instead of drawing close to you, we ask you to judge. And we ask you to judge us with your correction. We thank you. We welcome your correction. And we choose to receive it in Jesus' name. Father, it's a blessing. It's a tremendous blessing to have the true and living God through our days here on the earth. What a fellowship. What a joy. What an opportunity. We give you praise, Lord. And from our positions seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for teaching us to do your will because you are our God and your Spirit is good. And we ask that you lead us into the land of uprightness. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. Tory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with the satanic kingdom in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, and open doors of access to the enemy, especially in our own lives. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks. We return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporting, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, electronic technology demons, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water, marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing devils, womanizing devils, drone devils, whoredom devils, all the voices of the stranger, hypnotic and trance devils, and all their attacks. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? We bind them, according to Matthew 18:18, in Jesus' name. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic art, Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu, African, Indian, European, Caribbean, Latin American, magic, black magic, white magic, and the work of all the Druids in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return the attacks to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils and all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog, the lord of the flies, his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse and those devils that attend that evil. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits and the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the grove. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth, intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experience, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind all the demons that attend that in Jesus' name. And we bind the king of pride and all of his underlings in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, trolls, fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. We bind all the devils that attend those in Jesus' name. We bind Moloch and Baal and Beelzebub, Belial, Baphomet and his 72, Basilic, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Mammon and Apollyon in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls and spears, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, witchcraft, as well as their mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke and chain, to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, in whom we serve and obey. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Amen. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God Almighty. And from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, with the sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free from all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and every other form of agreement with the demonic realm in Jesus' name. We break the power of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, sorcerer. And we break the power of every vex, love spell, hex, curse, spell, charm, fetish, all psychic warfare, jinxes, potions, mind control, sorcery, magic, voodoo, hoodoo, sickness, pain, and torment, incantations, ungodly blessings, root work, crystals, and hoodoo in Jesus' name. We break the power of all tribal rituals and the sins that they promote in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Father, and we return the warfare back to the sender according to the covenant in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Now, don't forget, saints, that before you answer your telephone, before you open the email, before you jump on social media, before you get on your computer or electronic device to bind the demons that come through, amen? That's right. Those things are portals. Portals. You can go through from one side to the other. What? Whatever happens to be trying to go through. There you have it. Amen. Don't forget, it's important. And sometimes before you open the mail, too. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has a word for us tonight. And I'm happy to have received this word and to be blessed by it. Yes, that's right. I get to be the first partaker of the fruit. That's what the word says. So tonight, we're going to talk about a beautiful subject that I enjoy very much. Faith is. Yes, it is. Faith is. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Heavenly Father, I ask you to unction this word to everyone who listens to it, and an additional blessing to all who recast it in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Yes, they were. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen. Think about that for a minute. Amen. Think about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The world was framed by the word of God. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord sits on the circle of the earth. Did you know that? Well, he does. Amen? He does. And he says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's a lot that he said. That's a lot that he said. Let's talk about it. What is faith really? Do you know? The scriptures tell us that faith is the substance. It's a substance. It's real, and it is the essential basic matter of things that have been hoped for. It's real. It's tangible. It's not an idea. It's a real substance. It is the real and essential basic matter of the things that have been hoped for. It is also the evidence or the ground for belief of the things which are not yet visible in the natural world. It is the evidence, the ground of belief for things that are not yet visible or have not yet come to pass in the natural world. Faith is super saturated with belief. Faith is super saturated with belief. I remember, where was I? In elementary school? I can't remember. It's too long ago. An experiment that we did in class. It was with salt and water. We had a beaker, and we had a certain amount of water in it. And we were told to pour the salt into the water and that it dissolved. Then we were told to continue pouring and continue stirring until the salt would no longer be absorbed in the water. That means the water wouldn't take any more salt. Then we did other things to the salt water to cause it to receive more salt. And finally, after we'd done all the things we could do to the salt water, and it just wouldn't take any more salt, they told us this is what it means to be saturated and supersaturated. It's taken in all the salt that it can take. The chemical reaction that causes the water in the salt has run the max. It can't do any more. We would have had to add more water. So, if you can understand that, then you can sort of begin to get a grasp of how much belief is a part of faith. It's essential. It's part and parcel. They go together. You must have belief in faith. I'll let you think about that for a while. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You see, in faith you do that. You look at things that cannot be seen with the naked human eye. You will often hear us saying that you look at things with the eye of faith. Well, that's when you're looking at the things that aren't seen naturally. And we are encouraged not to just focus on the things that we can see in the natural, but to focus on the things that you can't see in the natural. For the things which are seen in the natural are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That means without beginning or lifetime, unchanging, always true, always valid, and beyond time. Often, we've encouraged you to think about the fact that faith is really eternal. It doesn't end. And you sit there and you say, uh-huh. Well, think about it a little more. Think about it a little more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we are called by Almighty God to live our lives by faith, by this substance, fueled by hopes. It's not all it's fueled by, but hope is very much a part of it. We're called to walk by faith and not by natural sight. Now, think about this. The Lord would not tell us to do that if we did not have the ability to do that. We're called to live our lives by faith, not by what our senses bring in, smell and natural sight, natural hearing, natural touch, natural taste. We're called to live our lives by faith. We're called to walk our everyday lives out in faith. Not just being here on earth as a carnal human being in the worldly realm. We're called to supersede that and to walk with the Lord in faith. That's right. And the Lord would not call us to do that if we did not have the ability to do it. You see, we must have faith in order to participate in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We must have faith. It's not maybe. It's obligatory. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, he couldn't tell them to do that if they didn't have the capacity to bring that forth. And such is the case with us. We have the capacity for faith. We have the capacity to have faith in God. That's right. We do. This is possible for human beings. In fact, the Bible says that even the demons, the devils, believe and tremble. It's possible for us to do this. This is possible for human beings. If it were not so, God would not have required it of us. It's a requirement. Doubt reared its head in the Garden of Eden. You remember when the serpent approached Eve and he interjected doubt into the conversation and she sucked it up without really dealing with it properly? He released the spirit of doubt into the conversation, and she just sucked it up as if it was sucked up in a straw. Remember that? And so we explain to you that when you're having conversations, words are spirit. You have to bind those spirits before the conversation begins, or else you will act like Eve, and you'll just suck it right up as if it's in a straw. And then you'll wonder what's going on with you later on. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, however, faith is restored when we are born again from above. The Lord saw to it that the human race got to have faith restored to them. Mm-hmm. We are expected to exercise faith, maintain faith, and grow into fullness in faith. That's a tall order, but God would not expect it if we were not capable of it. We're to exercise faith. That means we have to do something with it. You know, when you exercise, there's movement. There's building, there's developing, there's contouring. We must exercise. We must use it. We can't just sit it on a shelf in a mason jar. We have to use it. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we are told that Jesus Christ is the author and developer and completer of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Well, what does an author do? They write great narratives. They initiate it. Authors do these things. They explain it. They make it accessible to others. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Completes it. He's the beginning. He takes it all the way through to successful completion. That's right. Jesus Christ is the one. So if you're having problems there, it would be good to look to Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. God has given to every person a measure of faith to operate in. God has given to every person a measure of faith to operate in. It says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, you're listening to me. You've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You can't tell me that you don't have any faith. You do. It's just that you have to use and grow the faith that you do have. You do have faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, we find that we can pray and ask the Father to increase our faith. We can ask the Father in the name of Jesus to increase our faith. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I think all of us need to grow there. All of us need to pray this. I know I do. And I would hope that you would join me in that. Amen? In Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 41. We're going to start with verse 41. And we're going to talk about a particular instance in this chapter. Amen. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 41. And behold means you got to see it. You got to see this in your spirit. There came a man named Jairus, and Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. So Jairus had been associated with the word of God and the era of the Sanhedrin because he was a ruler of the synagogue. He knew about our Lord. He knew about God. He knew about the Messiah. He was a knowledgeable man. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him and begged him that he would come into his house. Well, why did he want Jesus to come to his house? Verse 42, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. He's come to talk to Jesus. He fell down before the Lord. And he's begging him to come to his house, but here come this rush of people. And verse 43 explains how the rush happened. And a woman having an issue of blood of 12 years, just as long as his daughter had been alive, which had spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of Jesus' garment, and immediately the issue of her blood staunched. Her hemorrhaging, as we call it, stopped immediately. Now, good point. There have been some of us who've been attacked by the enemy. Say, the blood is flowing. And I pray and go before the Lord. And then later on you tell me it stopped. Well, guess what? It happened for her too. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all the people that came in that crowd while Jairus was trying to talk to Jesus, when all those people and that lady was in that crowd, when all of them said, I didn't touch you, I don't know how that happened. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. Perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now think about it. Here Jairus is. His daughter's dying, and here comes this throng of people, and in this throng, this woman touches Jesus, and then the Lord saying, who touched me? Virtue's gone out for me. Something's happened. I need to know what's going on. Verse 47. Now, all the time now, Jairus is right there and can't get any further than where he was when he started. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Because you see, women weren't supposed to touch men that way. There wasn't supposed to be any touching. And how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Underline this, thy faith hath made thee whole. Not healed, not delivered, whole. Go in peace. While yet he spake, while the words were coming out of Jesus' mouth, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Somebody came from Jairus' house to find him while Jesus was speaking these words, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. In other words, never mind, your daughter's already dead. Now, can you understand what that did to Jairus on the inside? Here he was a ruler of the synagogue. He listened and heard about Jesus and heard about his miracles and so on and so forth. He went out, no matter what anybody else would have thought about it, seeking Jesus, laying before him, begging him to come to his house. And here comes a messenger from his house telling him, never mind, your daughter's dead. Just give it up. That's crushing. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him and gave him some valuable information to you. Valuable information. We have noted the interruption of the woman with the issue of blood. We paid attention to the announcement from Jairus' home. In the natural, most would say that it was too late for the daughter because she had been pronounced dead, but that's not how Jesus handled it. Let's listen to Jesus' response. Jesus said, don't let fear in the door. Do not allow fear in the door. Fear not. That's what Jesus said. Don't open the door to fear. He said, stay in faith. Believe only. Jesus always ready to meet any emergency and to defy unbelief and seeming impossibility. Jesus Christ is always ready to meet any emergency and to completely defy all unbelief and all seeming impossibilities. Do you believe that? Jesus commanded Jairus to believe so that she would be made whole. You see, faith has belief supersaturated in it. And he said, and she shall be made whole. Believe only. Don't let fear in the door. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. There it is. How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. He didn't give him a whole sermon. He just got straight to the point. That's right. Everyone needs a righteous relationship with Jesus Christ and unwavering belief in him and his ability. Everyone needs a righteous relationship with Jesus Christ and unwavering belief in him and his ability. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 17, verse, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And some of you have seen this because Christians go around with these little magnifying glasses over one grain of mustard seed so you can actually see the thing. It's just that tiny. But if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Wow. Well, it can't possibly be the size of the grain of mustard seed, because that's one of the tiniest grains you'll ever see. It must be something else. Maybe we'll find out what that is. You see, if ye have faith, it's what the Lord said. If. You see, we have some control over the if part. We have some control there. We have some influence. We have some power over the if ye. You see, the if ye part is up to us. That's right. The if ye, right up to there. This is up to me. And put your name there. The if ye part. If I have faith, well, do you? Do you use it? Do you always use it? Amen? Do you use it? Do you always use it? In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, Jesus says to us, and all things soever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. It does not say whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, you shall receive. No, that's not what it says. It says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There's a difference in believing and not believing. See, you can pray and not believe, but it's not going to do you any good. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we find out about that. Because in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Our prayer life must please the Lord. But if we don't have faith, if we're not believing, we're not pleasing, now are we? Why? Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that, what else must you believe? That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe when we go on a fast and seek the Lord that he is going to reward us for diligently seeking him. We have to believe. You see, faith and believing go together. That's right. They go together. Amen? They go together. In James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you don't know the right thing to do, quite get it figured out. Do what? Let him ask of God. That means you have to go petition the Lord. You have to go seek him. And he says he giveth to all men liberally, generously. He gives the wisdom generously. He's not stingy like some of us. And he doesn't get on your case because you don't already know the answer and you don't know what to do. Says, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. So if you need wisdom in a matter, he says that he'll give it to you. He didn't say, you got to go pay $50 over here to get it. You got to go to this seminar and pay $200. No, it says he'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith. There it is. That believing and that faith. You can't leave the faith somewhere else, under the bed, under the rug. The faith has got to be right with you. Nothing wavering. None of that vacillating to and fro. Here one moment, there the next moment. You're in faith, then you're not in faith. Then you're in faith, then you're not in faith. That won't work. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. No telling where he'll be next. You've seen the wind blowing on the sea, and you see what it does. For let not that man, the one that wavers like the sea with the wind blowing, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's unstable. He's not in faith. He's unstable. He's got two minds. One that doubts, one that believes. One that doubts, one that believes. And the Lord says he's unstable in all of his ways. Don't look for any stability out of that person. He's mentally unstable, spiritually unstable. You see, it's important. It's very important what we do. In Mark, excuse me, not Matthew, Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. See, he tells you where to direct your faith. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So Jesus is saying that when you come to me in prayer, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you're praying, it will come to pass. And you'll have whatever you're saying. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them when ye pray. When ye pray, believe at the same time, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Didn't say if any had aught against you. If you have anything against anybody while you're standing there trying to get something from me, you need to forgive right then and there. Why do I have to do that, you say? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. That's why. That's right. You read it. It's been there for a long time, and he's not going to erase it. Amen? We are commanded to exercise faith in God. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, Romans chapter 14, verse 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever it is, if it's not of faith, it's sin. That's right. All that is not of faith must be repented of and turned away from. Amen? Hang in there. It must be repented of and turned away from. Faith is released in us by the Spirit of God. So our faith should be rooted and grounded in our God and his power, and not based on human ideas. That's right. Our faith should be rooted and grounded in our God and in his power, and not based on human ideas. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5 explains it. Says your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, of human beings, but in the power of God. You should meditate on this scripture later on. Where does your faith stand? Ask yourself. Then ask the Lord if your answer was right. Faith in our God, his power, and his word purifies our heart. Some of us could stand to have a pure heart. I believe all of us could. In Acts chapter 15, verse 9, it says, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. Faith will do that. Faith will run the doubt and unbelief right out of your heart if you allow it to. Faith in our God purifies our heart. The Holy Scriptures feed, nourish, and build our faith. Yes, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now, saints, when we tell you that you ought to play the King James Version of the Bible in your home, in your car, wherever you are, we're encouraging you to develop in your faith. Yes, as you're walking from the back of the house to the kitchen, you'll hear something in the Word of God. It'll grab hold of your attention and your heart because God's trying to deal with you in that very area. And you'll hear something that you didn't know before, and then you'll grow in your expectation of the Lord. You'll begin to believe what the scripture says. But you have to hear it over and over and over and over again. So you say, Pastor Sabrina, you've given us some of these same scriptures before. Over and over and over. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing over and over and over again. That's right. A little here, a little there. That's right. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So to give you an inheritance among all the other saints. The word of his grace, which is able, it has the power to build you up. The word of God is important, you see. Very, very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, good teaching, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished. The word nourishes us. Good teaching nourishes us. Amen? So we try to help you understand that you can't spend your whole day flying all over YouTube and all over the internet listening to this one, that one, this one, that one, this one, that one, and this one, that one. Send you there, what are you going there for? You're liable to get some false doctrine because false doctrine is everywhere these days. And it's easy to suck it up unawares. We pray for you, though. We pray for you. In Acts 10 and verse 7, Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. That we should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That we should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The word of the gospel is to help us to believe. That's why we have it. It's to help us. Why? Because we need help. We need help in believing. Amen? And the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 30. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Why are they written? That ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing, and in the believing, ye might have life through his name. It was written for us that we might believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, we might have life. Eternal life through his name. It's important. Faith is extremely important. Believing is important. We can't afford to lay it aside. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Lord continues here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's right. The word helps us to learn. That through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. We said that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have to have some hope in this as well. That's right. We have to have some hope before we get to faith. When we listen to or read the word, it is necessary that we apply the faith that we have with the word that we are receiving. We must apply the faith that we have, not the faith that we haven't grown into yet, the faith that we already have, with the word that we are receiving. That's what's supposed to be happening right now. For unto us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, was the gospel preached. But as well as unto them. See, the gospel has been preached to a lot of people. But the word preached did not profit them. And you've seen this happen. That people can hear the word preached, but it didn't do them a bit of good. Why is that? How does that happen? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You've seen people sit there and listen to the gospel and grunt and nod their head. And then they get up and live the same old way forever and a day. And you're wondering what went wrong. Here it is. This is the answer. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And sometimes, beloved, you've done the same thing. Amen. We should always have faith when we pray. I can usually tell if someone just wants me to do their praying for them and they are not in faith themselves. The saints of God cannot live their lives off of Brother Bill, Brother Marshall, and Dr. Sabrina's faith. I know you're in shock, but it's the truth. The saints must operate in faith themselves. God will not allow you to get by doing this for long. You will be weaned. You see, should believe the prayers when we pray. We pray the warfare prayers at the beginning of the service. But God has shown me that many of you do not believe what is being prayed. What a missed opportunity that is. No wonder you're not receiving all that you should. You've not been believing and mixing the prayers with faith as they are being prayed. Wow. That's right. That's right. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Now, we just prayed the opening prayer. Amen. And we said quite plainly that we're binding the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We said that we were binding passive devils, unclean spirits, seducing spirits, the voices of the stranger, the attacks that come. We said that we're returning every attack to the sender. But the question is, did you believe that while we were praying it? Good question. We said that we were binding the transference of evil spirit from one person to another. But did you believe that? We said we were binding all the demons that come to intimidate us, harass us, manipulate us, wear us down, spy on us, block us, distract us, stop us. Did you believe that? We pray the word of God, and we acknowledged and thanked the Father that he had given us power over all the power of the enemy and that nothing by any means could harm us. But did you believe that? We asked the Father for eyes to see, for ears to hear, for a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Holy Spirit was going to preach to us tonight. But did you believe that? You see, there is a difference between just praying and praying in faith, believing. It's not the same at all. Amen? It's not the same at all. You see, in James chapter 1, the Lord said, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. When we pray, we have to ask in faith, not in unbelief. It won't work. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So how is it we're going to approach God to pray without a true heart, first of all, and a heart that is full of the assurance of faith? How can we do that? We must have this in order to draw close to God to begin with. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, Romans chapter 4, verse 21, remember we said that we have to believe that when we seek the Lord, that he rewards us? Well, Romans chapter 4, verse 21 reminds us, and being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. That doesn't leave any room for any doubt anywhere. Any unbelief can't be there. If you still have those, you're not fully persuaded. That what he had promised, that he rewards those who diligently seek him, he was able also to perform. We have to believe, fully persuaded, that God can keep his promises, that he's got the power to do it and that he will do it. We can't be joking around. It's serious. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "For I say unto you," Jesus said, "what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them." Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 21. Amen. Matthew 21. Verse 21. Jesus speaking, "Verily, surely, show enough, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not." If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, and we know about that, but also, and it shall be done, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. My, how revealing. Often the reason for not receiving the needed grace is that many of us are not using faith to access the grace. We're praying prayers, but we don't really have faith mixed with those prayers. We're not believing as we ought. Mm-hmm. You see, no faith offered, no result. Why? Because God is still waiting on us to offer him faith. It certainly is not because agreement is needed. We have plenty of agreement in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, a lot of it. So it's not that we don't have agreement. Mm-hmm. You see, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, you see, God isn't lacking. Agreement is not what's lacking. Because in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he's not joking. He is well able. It's not a sweat. He doesn't have to pump it up. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. How is this going to happen? According to the power that works in us. God's not lacking. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, it's not God that's lacking anything. He's not coming short. Romans 4, verse 17. It says, even God, who quickeneth the dead, who makes alive that is already dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God's not missing it. Wonder who is. Second Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. So be it, unto the glory of God by us. So now, we have studied this subject matter, and we have discovered tonight that God is not slacking. He's got all the power we need. He's able to answer any prayer. But where something is missing, someone is responsible. Could that someone be you? We have discovered that we don't have a lack of agreement. Plenty of agreement in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. We have agreement from all around the world. That's not what's missing. It's not that we don't have the Word of God to base our faith in. We've got plenty of the Word of God. We've got tons of his promises. That's not what's missing. So, if you have discovered what is missing in this sermon, then you get an A+. And if you have not, you need to recast. Amen? Amen. Having said all of that, we're going to pray. That's right. We are going to pray. And we're going to pray a specific prayer. And this prayer isn't just a general prayer. It's applying to some people that are listening right this minute. And so, if you have faith now, we've covered this tonight. If you have faith, we need to get our faith out. And we need to do with it what God says to do with it. Are you ready? I hope you are, because I'm ready to begin praying. And I hope that you are participating the way the Lord says that we should all participate together. All right. We're ready. Heavenly Father, we come to you in this time of great need in our lives. Whatever the cause, Father, we find ourselves in extreme financial need. First of all, Father, we come against and bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ, because we refuse to operate in fear or anxiety or worry concerning this situation. We realize that it's very serious, and we do not approach you with a flippant attitude, just assuming how things ought to go. But we are very much aware, because of the scriptures, that if there's any fear or anxiety or worry in our heart, It will cloud our judgment and our understanding of this situation. We realize that if we walk in fear, if we walk in anxiety, and we walk in and we harbor worry in our hearts, it will block our ability to hear from you. So we repent of any fear, anxiety, or worry in our hearts, that we might hear from you clearly. Heavenly Father, we give this whole situation to you. We place it in the hands of God the Holy Spirit, and we ask for your guidance and direction in rectifying it. If it's the result of any of the bad decisions that we have made or any wrong thoughts or actions that we participated in, we repent right now and we ask for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to see our mistakes and our faults. Help us to detect our own sin and presumption, and to do everything that we ought to do to overcome and to correct it. Heavenly Father, if this financial crisis is the result of our negligence or our irresponsible spending, we ask you to forgive us. Help us to be sensitive to your voice so that we may hear from you as we seek your counsel. Lord, we open our hearts to you. Show us what to do so that such a crisis as this particular one doesn't occur again. We thank you, Lord, that in our current need, you hear us when we cry to you. We ask you for help, and we ask you to give us favor with those that we owe money to. We thank you, Lord, for increasing in our belief, in our faith, and in our income so that our income can grow. We ask you for knowledge so that we will know where to cut expenses, and we ask you for wisdom and insight so that we will know how to budget the money that we do have. We thank you, Father, for supernatural wisdom, just like you promised in the scriptures, so that we can walk out of this present dilemma. Help us, Father, to develop a plan for recovery, a plan to get from where we are today to where you desire for us to be. The Bible says that we're the lender and not the borrower. We're above only and not beneath. Lord, to communicate the plans and the steps that you give us to those others who will be involved in this situation of recovery with us. Lord, we ask you to send counselors to us who can help us to do this. Send to us people, Lord, with wisdom and insight concerning our particular situation so that they can help us to understand and to get a hold of your plan for our recovery. Father, we give ourselves to you as well. We thank you that we hear your voice accurately and distinctly, as the scriptures say, and that you reveal to us what to do and how you want us to accomplish it. We ask you, Father, to help us identify the reason or reasons why this crisis occurred in the first place, and help us to instill safeguards so that it won't happen again. We thank you, Father, for your forgiveness, for your help, for your wisdom, and for your instruction. We thank you that in faith, in Christ Jesus, we've already come out of this crisis. We receive this by faith, And we thank you that it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen. Now, some of you want to know, well, why did you pray that particular prayer? It was needful for some people tonight, some people that are listening. Amen? Amen. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone's situation, financially, everybody. Even if you have great financial situation, you know, situations change from time to time. We plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over everyone's finances in this ministry in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. I pray that you mix faith with the prayer. Now, Brother Bill, are you still there?
I am, Pastor. I am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful prayer. And I'm in agreement that, Lord, that you would provide all the finances for everyone in need in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. Praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Caroline has a wonderful praise report. The Lord is making breakthrough with her girls' minds. They're being cleared. Their behaviors are improving, and they're recasting, and they are, it's just amazing. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Sister Marla has a praise report. She had put a prayer request in there. Her head was being attacked. You know what? The Lord healed her head. Thank you, Lord, for that. KK has a praise report. He'd put a prayer request in there about a new client. It all worked out perfect. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We just give you praise and glory for that. And NK says, the Lord has delivered me from slavish bondage from Whole Food for 11 years. Now he has shown me a less expensive way and healthier, a better grocer. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Coco's praising the Lord, too. Praise you, Lord. Gladys has a praise report. I was very sick Monday through Wednesday, and you know what? I just kept standing on the word. I did not run to the doctor and get antibiotics. I just stood on Isaiah 53:5, and the Lord healed me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. JC has a praise report. I slept peaceably in Jesus' name without numbness in my fingertips or any back pain. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. See, JC's growing. We're all growing. We're all learning how to overcome the devil, and we praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. That's wonderful. Dina has a praise report. She got a call from her insurance agent, and she's going to have $78 less on her premium. Thank you for that, Lord. That's awesome. Ira flew to a city for a doctor's appointment, and when the appointment was over, Ira thought he'd have to take a bus back to the airport, but the doctor's office gave them a free pass for a taxi and everything. Everything just worked out perfect. Thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of all of our praise. Guest has a praise report. My toddler is reading the word and says, sin plus sin equals Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you. Out of the mouths of babes. Praise you, Lord Jesus. JC has a praise report. I overloaded a wire shelf with some stuff in my laundry, put too much weight on it, and those contents came crashing down on me, and all I ended up was just a little soreness on my lip. Thank you, Lord, that your angels protected me. I could have really been hurt. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We just praise you, praise you, praise you. Lorianne says, praise the Lord. I placed a prayer request in the global prayer room last night, and infirmity symptoms are gone. Praise you, Lord, for that. praise you, Lord. And the conversation with my mom was blessed. Thank you, Lord. You help in everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Deborah says, praise the Lord. He's shown himself faithful and mighty to be praised yet again. Both my husband and son are doing well and getting better and better. Hour by hour, day by day, no fatigue, no chills, no upset stomach, no vomiting. Everything is getting better. Praise you, Lord. There's power in the blood, power in his blood. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Stacy has a praise report. I heard Dr. Sabrina say that the Wi-Fi is a portal, so I turned it off last night. You know what? There was so much peace in my house, and I slept very good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. These things, if you will listen and do the things that you're told here, it will make things so much easier for you. The warfare will be easier. We just give you praise and glory for that. I do turn off my router any night, any time that it's not in use. And it makes things, we have so much peace in our home. It makes everything so much better. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And Gina Williams has a praise report. Thank you, MIC, for love, prayer, support, something new and is unfamiliar entering into my soul. It's called peace. I'm not used to it, but I have peace now. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. You're growing us. You are changing us. Rosie has a praise report. Thank you, Lord God. Truly are present in a time of need. Our friend Jared Perkins was in a very bad car wreck and was in a coma. And as soon as I placed that prayer request in the prayer room, he came out of the coma. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And we just praise you, Lord. We praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You are growing our faith. And, Lord, you showed me years ago that the Holy Ghost is the giver of the gifts, and I've asked the Holy Ghost many times for the gift of faith, and that is a little different. And praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And now back to you, Pastor Sabrina. These are awesome praise reports. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, they are. I know there's some more praise reports out there. I just know there are. And you ought to dial 319-527-6235 and press 1 and tell us about your praise report. Oh, Brother Bill, come back here. Come right on back here because you led somebody to the Lord. And you didn't tell us about that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Sabrina. You won't believe this. I had prayed for this man's mother a month or two ago, and she was dying in the hospital on life support and all that. The Lord lifted her up off of her deathbed. And just this week on Monday, I was able to lead him to the Lord, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then there was another woman the very next day had just lost her mother a few days before, and she was at her wit's end and very distressed. And before you know it, she was praying with me, and she had to call the contractor and thank him for the time I spent with her and praying and how much better she felt. We just give you praise and glory, Lord Jesus, for those souls. Praise you, Lord. Just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost wherever you are, saints, and he will guide you and show you. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. That's the biggest miracle, seeing a soul saved. Praise you for that. Praise you, praise you.
Amen, praise amen, you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor, we can't hear you.
All right. Can you hear me now? Yes.
Yes, now.
Now, I'm praying that the Lord will use all of us to lead people to Jesus Christ. Every last one of us, that nobody will be left out of this wonderful blessing of leading people to the Lord. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. That means he that does not lead souls to the Lord is foolish. That's right. And we don't have foolish people in this ministry. At least I don't think we do. So, we want to please the Lord. We want to obey him. So we should avail ourselves to him to be used to lead people to the Lord. And we shouldn't be grumbling and grudging about it. That's right. We're sitting here getting all of this good word, all of this good teaching, all of these scriptures, just to hoard them inside ourselves? No. We have it to share with others. Freely we have received, freely give. That's right. Freely. That does not mean that you stand on your job when you're supposed to be working trying to preach to somebody that Jesus didn't call you to preach to. What it means is when he tells you to pray with somebody to lead them to the Lord, you use the faith that you have and the word that's in you to do that. You see, there are people who think that their job is their pulpit. Well, I'm sure your employer won't agree with you. If Jesus wanted you to be preaching at work, he'd have a pulpit there for you. And he would have prepared you, trained you, anointed you, appointed you, and everybody would be listening to you. All you're called to do is witness. But at work, you're called to work. That's the reason you're there. You want to receive a paycheck, and the employer expects work in exchange for the paycheck. So what you ought to do is you ought to work when it's time to work. Amen? Don't gyp your employer out of good work that he's paying you for. However, when you are not at work, when you are not working, and the Lord, not the ministry you wish you had, but the Lord himself unctions you to engage in conversation with someone, to witness to them, that's what you ought to do. You know, I've been on jobs. Gee, I've been working since I was graduated from high school. So I've seen people try to use their job as their pulpit. But you see, what they're supposed to be doing, cheating their employer, because they're supposed to be working heartily as unto the Lord. So I have experienced this, you see. Amen? So, saints, when you're on the job, don't make your employer upset by thinking that's your, here it is, I now have a pulpit and I now, no, the Lord didn't tell you to do that, that's you. The Lord will make places for you to share a word if he tells you to do it. And you will know it because he's leading you right into it. And the party that you're giving it to is there to receive it. In fact, many times they ask for it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go to our guest. Speaking of that, the Holy Spirit's bringing me back to that. Okay, we're not finished talking about that. There are persons, and I just know none of them can be listening at the moment, but maybe they'll be recasting it. There are persons who covet other people's ministry and other people's gifts. And we've talked about that before, and it's wrong. That's a sin. You're supposed to go to the Lord for him to help you develop in what he placed inside you, not what somebody else has and is doing. You're not called to be somebody else. You're called to be you. You're not called to be me. You're not called to be Dr. Pat, called to be Brother Marshall, You're not called to be Brother Bill. You're called to be you. Amen? It's nice to have examples of what the Lord can do in the life of a human being who becomes a believer that you can talk to and hear and see. That's good. It's wonderful to have teachers. It's wonderful to have preachers. But God wants to use the real you, not the you that's pretending to be some teacher, some preacher that you've had exposure to. God wants you to be you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. It's so. You know, I've seen people do this. I've seen people in the pulpit do this. I've seen people in the pulpit, actually what they end up doing is mimicking somebody else and trying to mimic somebody else's ministry. And a lot of you have seen it too. And you know something? That's not the Spirit of God. That's not God's Spirit. That's a false religious devil. That's what that is. That's not God. And speaking of things that are not God, there are experiences that are supernatural, but they didn't come from God. And so we're supposed to go to God, our God, the real one, the true one, the one that actually hung on Calvary and shed his blood for our sins, and put that experience to the test and say, Lord, was this you or was it not? Was that a false spirit? Was that a demon? Was that an angel of light? Or was it you? We're not just supposed to swallow every experience as if every single thing comes straight from God. No, there are other spirits out there too. So, seems like I got off on a little rabbit trail, but evidently not. The Lord wanted to talk about it. So you see, Saint, don't go around trying to pretend to be who you're not. Be you. God took the time, the effort, to make you, you. He thought it was important to spend his time doing that. And if God thought it was important enough to spend his time and his energies making you the way he made you and putting in you what he put in you for his kingdom, don't deprive him of you by trying to be somebody that you're not. Let him have you and allow him to use the real you. Amen? Amen. God likes genuine, authentic, the real deal. He's not into that other stuff. Now, the world is into that other stuff, but Jesus Christ isn't. So, give him the real you. He loves you. He died for you, not that phony thing you're trying to produce. Amen? Amen. So, as I was saying, we're going to go to our guest call-in. And our guest call-in number is area code 319-527-6235 and press 1. And so we're going to go talk to area code 951. Area code 951. You're on the air. How are you? Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I called in, but I need to call in today. I've been experiencing, I feel like I'm backsliding, and since my sister passed away. I've been having pain in my sides, and they're very sharp. And I did fast, and I've been praying, and thank you for the word today on faith. I'll study the scriptures because I know that was me. God was speaking to me about that. And when I have the pain, I urinate a lot, only when I have the severe pain on both of my sides. It's like they feel like pins and arrows in my sides, and it's consistent. And I drink a lot of water, and I just I stay in the bathroom, at work, at home. And I had a dream during the fast, and I asked the Lord, did he send it to me? And I did the dream protocol. I still do it. I'm lacking in my prayer life. I'm not where I was. I'm not. There was a man in the dream, and I have a particular coworker that works with me on my team, and we were supposed to team up together. They paired us up, but she and I don't. And I prayed about it. I said, well, Lord, if you want me to, I will. If not, just separate us. But I've been discerning, monitoring, and I pray at work, but she was in my dream. And there was a man in my dream, like he was a pastor or something, and he had a ring. You know those rings those bishops wear in the Church of God, in the different churches? He had a ring on his finger, and I knew I could see that ring so clear. I said, that's a bishop's ring. I've seen that ring before. And he was comparing her to me. It was like she was competing. And the dream was kind of puzzled, but what I got out of the dream and I discerned out of the dream was, I said, he's comparing her with me. He's questioning who I am, and he's comparing her to me. Why would he do that? And she was standing far off, but she was in the dream. And I noticed every day, I said, she's monitoring me? Are the demons monitoring me through her? Why does she come by here every day? Why does she ask me the question? So when she comes to my cubicle, I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. So she's been she keeps her distance, but the attacks came after the dream. That's when the attacks start coming. I wasn't having these attacks in my body before the dream, and it feels like my kidneys or my bladder. And when you were doing the sermon today, I kept getting deliverance. I did receive some deliverance and healing today as you were ministering today. And I have been over the last couple of days. I've been receiving deliverance over the last couple of days. And I know that I do prayers around my family. And when I believe that maybe some transference of spirits from them, and I've been praying about keeping my distance from them and just really trying to hear from God to whether I should even go over there. You know, and I come from a very strong witchcraft family, and I remember when Dr. Pat was living, I called in the first or second time, and you said that someone in my family had dedicated me to Satan. And that came in my spirit last week. And, you know, it's just a lot of questions I have for God, and I would like to know that. I've been asking God, who is this person, so I can disconnect myself and disassociate, even though they're in my family. If someone did that, I don't want to have anything to do with them. I forgive them, but I don't want to have anything to do with them. And I would like God to show me who the person is. I want to know. But I feel like I know I'm not where I was.
Okay. Well, let's go before the Lord. Amen.
Rika Rushida Rabrela Lediasa Rugunda Rakisa Bebe Rukuti de Rekise. Yerra Kaledio Sundera Brike Shandera Brike Sindera Brusa. It's time to stop grieving, my daughter. It's time to stop.
Let me explain something about grief. In the Bible, you will see that they grieve for Moses or Abraham or Aaron, I think it was all three, a certain period of time, and then they moved on. Well, what the Lord is saying is that the time of grief for you is over. And he does not want you going back around them, drumming up that spirit of grief again. Whew. It's been terminated for you. The season of grief is terminated. And when you keep going back, picking it up again, you're opening doors. And through those doors, attacks have come.
Mm.
Now, sure enough, there's some persons in your family that work witchcraft.
Yes.
And they attack you every chance they get. You don't have to go take yourself and say, here I am, attack me.
Amen.
That's not wisdom. You've done what you need to do for the funeral and that situation. Close that. Amen?
Okay.
Close it off. Now.
Amen.
That woman, she's not your friend.
No, I don't associate with her at all.
She is
but
not
my supervisor.
Your friend.
Mm-mm. No, she's not. Mm-mm.
And there is a spirit of jealousy involved.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Open door two. Open door two. There is a spirit of jealousy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we forgive the jealous one, but we bind the spirit of jealousy in operation in Jesus' name. We bind all jealous spirit, all insecure spirit. We bind the wizard that's working in Jesus' name.
Mm.
We bind the works of the wizard that's working in the matter in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull out every voodoo pin, every spear, every needle that's gone into your body. We bind it and command it to come up and out now in Jesus' name. Go back to wherever you came from in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Every pin, every spear, every needle, come up and out. Out, 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 now in Jesus' name. Go back wherever you came from in Jesus' name. Go back according to the covenant. Go back, go back. Every attack must go back. Every attack must go back. Every attack, every attack, every attack must go back. Every single attack must go back in Jesus' name. Go back wherever you came from in the name of Jesus Christ. Go back. Go back now. All of it. Every bit of it. Every single attack. Come out of her body. Come out of her body in Jesus' name. Her body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Break up the door in Jesus' name. All that witchcraft, come up and out. All that voodoo, come up and out in Jesus' name. All those curses, return to sender. Every hit, return to sender. She
is
not that
stuff on my front door.
Jesus has her in his hand.
From my neighbors, there was some brown liquid. My daughter and I don't go out the front door. We use the garage. And I just noticed it. I went out and I swept the front. And I noticed some brown liquid that was on the door. And it was on the storm door. I said, what is this liquid on this door? I said, we don't even go out this door. We don't even enter. And I noticed how our dog would just bark at the front door, and he'll walk to the kitchen and bark like somebody was out there. And you know what I'm dealing with next door. Mm-hmm. And it's that's where it's from. And I know that's where it's from. That's exactly where that brown liquid is from. They threw something on the door, and I went out and I cleaned it up. But I did post it in the prayer room, and I believe
did
in God for us.
Did you reanoint the front door?
Yes, ma'am, I did. I reanointed.
Inside
I did.
And out?
Yes, I did. I sure did.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, all the spirits that came with that witchcraft, we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we return them wherever they came from. Our sister did not put in an order for them, and you didn't send them. They are unlawful. They are illegal. They trespass on God's property. So we command those devils to come up and out, go into the cage, and go right back wherever they came from in Jesus' name, according to the covenant. Nobody called for them. Nobody put in an order and called Grubhub and said, bring the demons. Nobody did that. And we declare the activity to be illegal on us and illegal in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. Now, as for those monitoring spirits, we blind every one of them in the name of Jesus. All those spying devils, we blind them to you and to your daughter and to everything that pertains to your life. We deafen them in the name of Jesus Christ. They'll never hear anything about your life again. And the same is true for all their reinforcements in Jesus' name. Come up and out of her in the name of Jesus. All those poisons you dropped in during her sleep in a dream she doesn't remember, come up and out. Go back where you came from in Jesus' name. All that witchcraft, come up and out and go right back where you came from in the name of Jesus. Go back according to the covenant in the name of Jesus. Go right back. Come out of the kidney. Come out of her bladder. Come out of the kidneys. Come out of the nephrons in her kidneys. Come out of the walls of her bladder. Come out of her body fluids right now. Come out of her blood. Come out of her breath in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that's bound, break it in Jesus' name. All those bindings that you wrapped her up in, we loose her now in the name of Jesus. Every chain is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. All those bindings, we loose them in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the cages and we set the captive free in Jesus' name. Everything you've used to bind her, we return it to you now in Jesus' name. All the cursings that were released. Yes, all the cursings that were released. We return them to whoever loved the cursing in Jesus' name. It goes back wherever it came from. And the sacrifices, the ritual, the work done in the coven, we break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. Oh, shout out to God. We break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. We destroy the work of all of those sacrifices, every single one of them. All of that demonic work, all of those rituals, we destroy those works in Jesus' name. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. They are destroyed in Jesus' name. Come up and out of here in the name of Jesus. Come up and out. From the root, we uproot it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of us. Make yourself microscopic and come on out in Jesus' name.
We bind the territorial demons in her region in Jesus' name. We bind the territorial demons in her region. Every spirit of witchcraft that lives in her neighborhood, we command it to get up and move away from her in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Holy fire, spirit in Jesus' name. Father, we bind the attackers and the works of the attackers in Jesus' name. We bind the attackers and the works of the attackers in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over our sister. Now, you spent significant time grieving. It's time for you to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and keep it on.
Yes, I receive it. Yes. Amen.
Spend some time in your prayer language. Father, we thank you for taking this deliverance to completion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Call us back later. We love you. God bless.
I love you all, too. Thank you.
Amen. Area code 770, you're on the air in Jesus' name.
Hi, Pastor Sabrina. This is Amy and Tiffany. How are you?
We're blessed. How are you? Yes.
Yes, you are. And you bless us every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Yeah, we are calling in prayer for our home situation. We've been dealing with a lot of various attacks that are, you know, not normal for us. And there was an incident that happened. I'm not sure if there's any connection. We did have a big bullfrog that was black and dead in our backyard just appear all of a sudden. We got rid of it. And it seems like, I mean, I don't know, you know, it just seems like that was the start of it. It started with my grandson getting burned, a unique situation, that how it happened. And then Tiffany's been severely attacked. And then all of us have been just inundated with various sicknesses.
Mm-hmm. One after the other.
Yeah.
There's no break.
Yeah, Tiffany and I, we lost our voice for about almost 3 weeks.
More than 3 weeks.
Yeah, we couldn't even hardly pray outwardly. We couldn't hardly read the word of God or anything. We had to, you know, get very inventive. So, you know, we've been seeking wisdom on this, but we felt like we need to pray in because, you know, we're
all in, yeah. Because this is obviously bigger than us. We're just trying to find some insight of what we've done. That we know a couple of things that happened. We didn't bless our home in time.
Right.
In time enough. I know that the Lord kept on reminding
us. We were sick, and it was very hard for us to move. It was very hard for us to do things. And before you knew it, you know, we just knew that we were in disobedience, not blessing our home and our yard. We finally...
Can I ask you a question? Who owned house before you had it?
It was,
before you had it?
supposed it's brand new. Yeah, we bought it straight from before it was even finished building it.
Right.
Who owned the property that they bought?
You mean the realtor?
No, they bought it from somebody. Who was the property owner before the construction people bought it?
Wow. You know, I don't know that. I don't know that. I could find out, but I don't know that.
Yeah, the land was empty.
Okay, so you don't know who the original landowner was?
No, we would have to look into that.
Uh-huh, you might want to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the Masonic roots of that property in Jesus' name. Ika burushi de regise me. Runga de la brecha le di osundi braca de raka. We bind Satan's claim on the property in the name of Jesus. The word says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and they that dwell therein. Ruka shi e regisi de la maruka tarabri. Rise de de osurra kahatara bresete. Rise de chuturu goste de breke le de osundera breke. Regese de la bracasite de brekiasi. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority, dominion, and power over the real estate that our sisters have purchased in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We take authority, dominion, and power over any sin, any iniquity that was done on that property or
Amen.
By the previous property owners in Jesus' name. We break the power of every curse that has ever been on that property in the name of Jesus. We claim it through the authority of the new covenant in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for releasing your blessing on what you have blessed our sisters with. We plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over all of the property and its boundaries in Jesus' name. We break the curse of the dead frog. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We break that curse in the name of Jesus. We put it in your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every attack that has come on our sisters, on their family members, on the property itself, we return it where it came from in Jesus' name. We return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. Rusa de la brica de Dios under the braca de resiste de bri. Yarrequita la brosa de Dios under the brica de Dios sotara bricala de yasa. We put this property in the hands of the Godhead and the holy angels of God that have been assigned to my sisters in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We give you the praise, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every blocking devil is bound in Jesus' name. We loose their finances in the name of Jesus. We break the cages and we set the captives free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sabrina.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen.
God bless you.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Amen. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Area code 6107, you're on the air live in Jesus' name.
Good evening, Sabrina. It's Marshall.
Hi. You ready to
Hi.
Pray?
Yes, ma'am. Our landline needs prayer, so I would ask that you fix our landline so we keep working. I was listening to the first two-thirds of your whole sermon and most of the praise reports on the landline, and all of a sudden it just shut off. So, Lord, we bind every spirit of poison, every interfering spirit in Jesus' name, and ask you to restore whatever the enemy is trying to take away in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving other options, and I give you praise and honor and glory. We come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace in time of need with our big brother Jesus. He said, put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare that thou mayest be justified. Lord, you said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So we ask you, Father, to give us wisdom to pray under the unction of your Spirit the way you want. We thank you, Father, for every good and every perfect gift that cometh down from above. From you, Father of lights, within was no variance, no shadow of turning. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for coming to remind us of what Jesus said. And guide us into all truth. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of adoption. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We thank you for the great privilege of drinking into one spirit with you, just like it is written in 1 Corinthians 12:13. We don't completely understand everything, Lord, but we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you for your spirit in us. You said, if we don't have the spirit of Christ, we're none of this. But we thank you for your spirit in us when we received you by faith, when we were sealed with your Holy Spirit of promise, according to Ephesians 1:13. We thank you for that anointing that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy. And we ask you, Father, that anointing to move through your saints, through the prayers of your saints, not just my prayers, the prayers of all your saints, Father, under the unction of your Spirit. And we thank you, Father. You said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And you said, we're made nigh by the blood. If that's the blood of Jesus, over our lips, over in our hearts, that seal us with your Spirit. And we thank you for saying the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to help us to pray under the unction of your Spirit the way you want. We thank you, Father. And we come out of agreement with anything that I or any of us have listened to that don't line up with what you want, Lord, in Jesus' name. We cancel all the word curses written and or spoken, sent against each and every one of us and any one of us and all of our family members by anyone, those connected and related to us, those that have any position of authority over any of us or any of our family members, in Jesus' name. And all witchcraft curses, every spirit of ungodly controls, all the ungodly spirits from the witchcraft curses returned at least sinful with continual repetition as the spirits sent to do those spirits that tend to death, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the blood of covenant, in every avenue and every access, in every area, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus over every access to each one of us, over all of our eyes, our ears, nose, mouth, every access to these temples of the Holy Spirit of every type, including every pore, every place, the enemy could try to attack us, even through pricks, in Jesus' name. We cancel our assignments to each and every one of us, in Jesus' name. And all the things that would try to prick our heart to listen to the spirit of fear instead of listening to the word of God, which Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus says he has plans for us. Oh, he has plans for our peace and not for evil, to give us an expected end in Jeremiah 29:11. And we thank for your plans being fulfilled. Father, we ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And we do cancel all the word curses, because you said in Proverbs 18:21, death and life, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I thank you, Father, you've been teaching me, and you're still teaching me, and I'm so grateful for sending the Holy Ghost to teach us, Lord, to teach me and teach each of us, and teaching us by your word. And we thank you, Lord. When someone tried to speak a word curse over me, I went to a doctor, and he said, oh, this is not going to work out. I'm so sorry, it can't work out. I said, I don't receive that word curse. Of course, he looked at me like I had two heads. Well, I have a different head. The head of this temple was created as Jesus Christ. But guess what? His word curse didn't come to pass because I canceled it in Jesus' name. So we cancel the word curses, including any word curse spoken over any evil health predictions concerning increase in sickness and during the so-called flu season in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and honor and glory that no weapon, words or any other weapons, even ingeniously devised bioweapons by Satan and his henchmen working through various people, and whether it's Wuhan Lab or any other place, in Jesus' name, no weapon by the mainstream media, no weapon by the global elite, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And he goes on to say, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We thank you for that righteousness. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart will not lift up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. As it is written, I think that's in Psalm 24, somewhere in there. We thank you for that righteousness, Lord. We thank you that we can't be made righteous. All our best deeds, the best thing we can do as a Boy Scout walking somebody across the street or whatever we can do, Meals on Wheels or whatever the best we can do, Lord, there is filthy rags. Yes, we do good deeds, but we only do them when we receive your gift of righteousness. And we thank you for that you render unto man your righteousness. You said in Job 33, I think it's verse 26, you render unto man your righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And what does it say about righteousness? Oh, the bride of Christ, she's called by thy name, the Lord, our righteousness. Pat Holliday's not my righteousness. She's a lovely lady, and she knew the Lord in many ways and challenged me in many ways and was a blessing of extraordinary proportion. But she was just another gorgeous hunk of dust filled with the Holy Ghost like the rest of us. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of drinking into one spirit. We thank you, Lord, that when Father Abraham, the father of the faith, who did he meet? He met Melchizedek. What did Melchizedek bring? He brought forth bread and wine. Is there a little clue there? It says we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, love not our lives unto death. And it says righteousness delivers from death. How did Father Abraham become righteous? Because he believed God, and he didn't waver. Why did he believe God? Did he receive the Spirit when Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine? He didn't say he rejected it. He didn't say, hey, who are you? And Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It says that in Hebrews more than one place, and we give you praise and honor and glory. I think it's chapter 7 or in verse 1. He is our high priest. He is the King of peace. We thank you for bringing peace to our hearts and minds. You made peace by the blood of your cross. And we thank you, provided Father Abraham, in extraordinary ways, and you blessed him abundantly. Was he a perfect man? Did he ever lie? Did he say his wife was his sister? Well, he was half-sister. But that wasn't quite the full truth. Why did he do that? Oh, he let a little bit of fear come in. Oh, they're going to think she's so pretty, they want to take her away and kill me. But he must have repented of that, because we know in Abraham's bosom, in the story, and there was Luke 16, they talked about the beggar who was in Abraham's bosom, and he was blessed. And the one who had been so wealthy and doing so well before, he was tormented in the flames. So Father Abraham must have repented, because no liars make heaven. I think Father Abraham must have repented. We thank you, Father God, that you sent Abraham to teach us what faith is all about, and to teach us that we can receive that gift of faith so simply as a little child. Can a little child have a cracker and some grape juice? I think a child can do that. And we need to have faith like little children. Just like a little child, we just do what he tells us to do, and we receive him. And we thank you for that, Father. So we receive what? The blessings of the Lord. And we reject all the word curses from everyone in Jesus' name. And continue to speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy, muteness to the mouth of the enemy, and they may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear, pertain to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And all those have been interceding for in Jesus' name. And Father, you said in your word, if true to you, and I've seen the Lord answer this prayer so many, 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 many times. It's so awesome. Awesome. Sometimes we have needed faith to inherit the promises. Sometimes we have to wait a little bit to inherit the promises. But you always perform your word, Lord, and we give you praise for doing so, Lord, in Jesus' name, for even hastening your word to perform it. Because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven, in Matthew 18:19. And Jesus says, but I will see you again. Remember when Jesus going back to be with the Father? But by faith we see him again, because he's looking at us and his eyes are red with wine. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. And that day you'll ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Thank you for fullness of joy. Father, we ask you, Father God, to remove those that refuse to bow the knees to Jesus and raise up worthy candidates to run for public office in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Jesus says, we're always supposed to ask the Father, not just in John, 16, around verse 23 and 24, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. In John 15:16, he says much the same thing in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and honor and glory for doing so in Jesus' name, because he says in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, Jesus says, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So, Father, we're asking in Jesus' name. And you told us in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, you said we're supposed to ask the Father, our Father who art in heaven. So, Father, we ask you, Father, to raise up worthy candidates in this nation and other nations too, Father, including in Canada, including in Israel, the Palestinian Authority, every nation, Father God, every nation, Father God, in China. Yes, you can do exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, in North Korea too. Raise up worthy candidates to be in positions of authority, Father God. Remove those that need to be removed in Jesus' name, in all areas, including religious situations, Father God, including those things that are involved with the kind of the false religions, or the ones that are twisted, or have stuff added to them, including Roman Catholicism. Remove those that need to be removed and raise up those that should be raised up. And we thank you, Father, for your divine intervention, Father God, in Jesus' name, including those in different church scenarios, Father God, as well as in the synagogues, or the various people who think they're Jewish, whether they are or not, Lord, you know their hearts, in Jesus' name. So we thank you for raising up proper candidates to be in authority, particularly in the public offices in this nation, but every nation. And we're all in agreement, because I know you answer those prayers, Father, in ways I can hardly understand, Father, but you always do. We just have to ask in faith, nothing wavering, and you're going to do it. Sometimes we have needed patience to inherit the promises, but they're coming. They're always going to come to pass, because God cannot lie. And we thank you, Father God, what you've done and you promised to do. Because you said you give this kingdom, Jesus is the king of the kingdom, we give the kingdom to the saints of the Most High. It says in Daniel, where is that, Lord? Daniel chapter 7 somewhere. I think it's around verse 27. Is that where it was there? So I know, that's what you're going to do in your time, in your way, and at all times you're in your hands. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and whose dominion shall, and all dominion shall serve and obey him, shall serve and obey the Lord of all, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father, for giving Jesus all power in heaven and earth. And we thank you for providing all of our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. And you said in your word, ask and you shall receive. So, Father, we thank you for providing all of our needs. And as I was reading this again today earlier, it's such a lovely psalm, and I remember hearing it. One of the first times I heard it when it really hit home was when I was at my brother's funeral, and I had no relationship with the King of Kings at that time at all. I wasn't sure he was who he is. I'm not sure I really know him fully yet, but he came to reveal the Father to us, and Father God loves us so perfectly. That's what he sent Jesus for on that tree, to take the cup of cursing so we could be blessed. And as we receive his blessings, because he took our cup of cursing, then this all comes to pass. It says, the Lord is my shepherd in Psalm 23. I shall not want. So we come out of agreement with every concern about food provisions, provisions of food and the natural and spiritual food as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Amen. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When we're having the Lord's Supper, he's preparing that table before us in the presence of our enemies. Our enemies are checking out, are we really doing this? Are we really seeking the Lord with all of our hearts? He's preparing that table before us in the presence of our enemies. And with thou anointest my head with oil, thank for that anointing, Lord. My cup runneth over. We drink into one spirit within. Thank you for the abundance of your provision. Surely, without any question, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is that house? Oh, that's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So that's why it says in Hebrews 3:6, if we're his house, we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So he will provide all of our needs because the Lord is our shepherd. And he says, and I agree, I shall not want. So we thank you for providing the food and the drink, and grant us your wisdom and discernment, Father God, for those who have the ability, Father. I've heard some people say that there has been an increase in inflation, in case no one's noticed, with food and fuel, which they don't use as part of their consumer price thing, because they don't want to get people too aware of what the real inflation is. But Father God, you said, some people have said that it might be wise if anybody has something they would use for food or something they would use in the future that would be beneficial to just purchase it earlier if they have a little extra on hand that after they've already given to the Lord and taken care of their bills and everything else. If they have a little extra, it would be a better return on the investment than putting it in the bank. Some of the banks are not really, don't really have savings accounts anymore, like losing accounts. That sounds silly, but it really is true because the inflation rate's higher than the little dribble that you get from a savings account. So we thank you, Father God, granting people wisdom to make the right choices. And if people want to set aside something and a type of food that would last, some people like soup, some people like different things that you can buy that last a little while, that might be a prudent thing to do before the price goes up. If it might go up, and I don't know if it will because I don't know the future for sure, but some people have said that, and we cancel those work curses as well in Jesus' name. And we thank you for providing all of our needs in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name for what you have done, are doing, and going to do in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to help us all to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and listen to your spirit, help me and all of us to listen to, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not heed. We don't want to spend our, with the resources that are not ours anyway, but the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it all belongs to you, Lord. Help us to be wise stewards of what you're putting into our hands. Help me, Lord. Help us all to be wise stewards in every area. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for delivering us from every plan and wile and scheme of the enemy in Jesus' name. And you said in Psalm 18, starting at verse 46, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. Psalm 18, verse 48, He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. So is there any potential, not just accidents, any potential plans of the enemy to cause stress by perhaps Soros-funded Antifa or any of those type of things and gangs or whatever? We thank you for delivering us and hiding us from the enemy and hiding us all in that secret place of the Most High. We claim all the benefits of your word, Lord, in Jesus' name, including Psalm 121 as well as Psalm 91. But Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. For whence cometh my help? Does it come from Donald Trump? Well, the Lord may use him, but that's not necessarily where help comes from, is it? Doesn't come necessarily from Marshall, not necessarily. Lord could use me in a little way, some way, here and there. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Wow. He will not suffer that foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You're up all night anyway, Lord. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. We're not lunatics. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Psalm 121, verse 7. I claim that for each of us and all of our family members in every area, every type of evil. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Why? Because he purchased our souls with his own blood. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So when we're traveling, the bless us going out and bless us coming in. And we thank you for hiding us in that secret place as we belong to you, Lord, and we give you praise and honor and glory. Because we've given our hearts to you, Lord. We're your house, Lord. And it says in Psalm 27, verse 4, 5, and 6, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell, not just visit, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday and Friday and Sunday, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. His mouth is most sweet, and he's altogether lovely. He's beautiful. Yes, Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord, his love is better than wine. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, for the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Jesus is our head. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Help us all to rejoice in you, Lord. And again I say rejoice and worship you and praise you. I hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. By the grace of God, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And Lord, I thank you for the little clues you give me from your word, Lord, including it in Genesis 49, not only verse, I'm trying to turn there, Lord, Genesis 49, verse 12 in particular, his eyes are red with wine, but also in verse 24 of that same chapter, Genesis 49, verse 24, his bow, this is talking about Joseph, who's the type of Jesus. Remember, he provided the bread for his brothers and sisters that didn't treat him, or, I don't know about his sister, but his brothers, the others that didn't treat him too well, and they tried to sell him into Egypt. But what they intended for evil, God intended for good. But it's talking about Joseph, but it's only talking about Jesus. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the stone, not just of Israel, but everybody who believes in him. He's a solid rock foundation, without any question, in Jesus' name. And it talks about getting blood from the stone. Why does it talk about that? Because what came out of that rock that they had to smite? Water came out, and did they turn water into blood? More than once in the Bible? Oh, yeah, more than once. Not just John chapter 2 around verse 7. How about Exodus chapter 4? What is that, around verse 8, 9, or 7, somewhere in there. There's lots of places in the Bible who they turn water into wine. Water, kind of sort of got a. How about the one, where's that, Lord? 2 Kings, I remember 3:16, it's easy, like John 3:16, 2 Kings 3:16, it talks about what, when they were in need, and they had a great need. They didn't have anything to drink, but thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. It didn't rain, so how did the water get in the ditches? But this is a minor thing, because what happened? He got rid of the Midianites that were trying to take them out. How did he do that? He changed what looked like water into blood. And they rose up early in the morning, verse 22 of 2 Kings 3. They rose up early in the morning, the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. What happened? Oh, the whole camp of Israel rose up, and they smote the Moabites. You know, they think they vanquished our previous president. But they haven't really finished, have they? No. They think they vanquished the enemy, who they thought is the enemy. They didn't like Donald because he was doing things according to bring honor and glory to the Most High God, but they want to bring honor and glory to their false God. So, Father, we thank you for overturning the enemy's plans and providing all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for opening the way for each one of us who will travel safely. We bind every word, curse concerning possible domestic assault in Jesus' name. And we cancel all the word curses in Jesus' name. Every attack coming against every one of us in our hearts and minds and physically and everywhere in Jesus' name. Thank you. They're more with us than they're with them. The mountains are full of horses, the chariots are fire. Not just around about Elisha and his servant. Round about all your prophets and their servants. Not just Pat Holiday, but her servants. And we thank you, Lord, for warring, linking angels round about each of us. And we thank you, Father, for keeping us by the power of your name. Jesus says, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that there may be one as we are. We thank you for your glory, for defense. We thank you for keeping us by the power of your name. That's the name above all names. That's the name Jesus was sent forth. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you think about it when you're baptized in the name of the Father, the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 3 in 1. We thank you for delivering us from all possible domestic assaults. We thank you for delivering us from every type of heightened fear or stress, because you're not given the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And you told us,
Give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
You said in your word in Matthew 10:29, Jesus speaking, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. Jesus speaks to each of us. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Wow. Got not so much work to do with me because it's the thing that we know what to do. Carry it out, therefore, for you are far higher than many stars. Whosoever that shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for interceding for each of us and delivering us from every spirit of trouble to heart of strength. And thank you that you just had to light yourself a river to be the rise of your heart. For my friends, all those that are serving you, Lord, that need employees, we thank you for providing the employees that they need. It says, seeking the God and His righteousness. All these things, including our employees, will be added unto them. We thank you, Father, that we be a surge of inflation, but you're going to give us witty inventions to show us what you want us to do and the proper choices you want us to make, Father God, in Jesus' name. I remember Pat Holiday 10 years ago, but she mentioned that it was about $100 bill, and when you were playing or something, and I thought about that briefly, I thought, what? Money, but well, it's got a little more money, I guess it would be worth more than $100 bill in maybe 5 years, and then that's going to be worth. So we're going to represent your wisdom to make the right choices, so we will not be worried about a surge of inflation.
You know Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Ask Him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, He'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet Him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why you came and died on the cross for me. And I ask you, oh God, that you will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask Him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just ask Him to come in now. Yes, there He is. There He is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because He died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah.